Thank you, Nils, for the kind introduction. I'd like to extend my thanks to all the reviewers and the committee for being here, and all the audience. I welcome you all. The topic of the trial lecture is evading ubiquitous face recognition system. One of the things why the talk becomes interesting, at least the title seems very interesting in this context, is because of the surveillance that we are facing in the present day. So in this regard, first what I would like to do is I would like to introduce how face recognition systems work, a brief overview of how the system itself is operating. And then we try to point out some of the pitfalls of existing systems. Rather than calling it as pitfalls, we can call it as the operating way the systems work in the current day. And then we try to see how to evade them using the pitfalls or the operating mechanisms of the face recognition systems. So, for a human brain, recognizing a human face is very easy. A human brain usually looks at the features, tries to make some relations, how the nose is with respect to the eyes, how is the lips with respect to the eyes, and geometrically makes an assumption of how the silhouette is, and then registers this. So the next time a new person comes, it exactly does the same procedure, trying to look at these features, trying to look at the silhouette, trying to see if there's matching. Now this is very easy for a human being. When it comes to the machine, there are a lot of things that needs to be taken care of. The machines do not think as human brains think, at least at this stage. So the point is, to make the machines recognize the face, there are a set of things that need to be done. In the first place, we capture the image. It could be using any camera that can be operating in visible spectrum or any specialized spectrum. Once the image is taken, we do some kind of pre-processing, and then we detect the face. Once the face is detected, there are a series of steps that go through. You do face alignment. You do feature extraction, followed by feature comparison, match it with this database, then tell if the subject is present in the database or not. And the entire pipeline consists of recognition. Now, taking a look at this, each of components in a closer manner, we can somehow assume the face recognition systems work in this way. So you have the face image that is captured, and then the image may not be of the best quality, so you would like to do some histogram equalization or any other image enhancement techniques so that the details are seen in a better way. Once you have the details seen in a better way, you proceed to do the face detection. And to detect the face, predominantly there are hard cascade-like features used, which I'll be talking in the upcoming slides. Once you have such detected face, you go ahead with the geometrical normalization, where you try to align the face. If it is rotated or if there's a slight offset with respect to the imaging, you correct all of this. One of the examples is you can use active shape model, which I'll be demonstrating in the later slides. Once you have the aligned face, you take the face, then you try to extract the features using any number of methods. It could be structure-based or texture-based or a combination of them. Once you have all of those, you go ahead with the recognition methods. And there you use simple distance metrics or sophisticated classifiers. Now, taking a closer look at each of these components, we try to see how these things work in the actual systems. When it comes to the face detection, what happens in most of the systems in the present day is that they employ hard cascade-based detector, which means you have a set of filters, each of different size and different shape, oriented in different directions. Then you try to run it through all the images, at least the frame, and then you try to localize the face with a good amount of confidence. To give a better illustration of how this actually works, if you take a look at this face right now, the hard cascade tries to run in the entire frame, trying to localize the face. Whenever it finds a face, it somehow makes an assumption that this is the face and then proceeds further by increasing the scales. So since this works in a cascade manner, each of the confidence is accumulated, and at one point, when the confidence is very high, the face is detected, and that is what is given to the azad. Now you can see that this is the region that comes up with the highest confidence, detected in multiple cascades and shown as the face. As you can see, that the face again is not in the best shape. You have rotated face, and then once you have such things, you come up with number of complications. For instance, when you apply the same face detector on the real world applications, you can see that the face that is very up close is somehow detected, but then what is interesting is that it also detects my nose as the face. Now, this is to some extent acceptable, but then you have other false detections. You can see that the brick is detected as face, and another part of the leg and the brick are detected as face. And this is again because of the hard cascade, the way hard cascade works. Now, to make the system robust, there have been some methods that have been proposed. For instance, where they try to use the likelihood assessment, where they say if this is a face or not, and then try to eliminate all the false positives, and coming up with a better robust detection methods. And you can see that number of faces, even at a distance, is identified in this case. So, since we have now taken a look at the face detection part, let's take a look at each of the components inside the face recognition unit. That is consisting of face alignment, feature extraction, and feature comparison. When it comes to the face alignment, as I indicated before, we can never expect face in ideal quality, which means the face cannot be always oriented in the right direction according to the principal axis. So the recognition system might fail. That's one of the reasons this face might fail is because the shape which the recognition system works on is not exactly like this. So you try to locate the eyes or try to locate the silhouette. In the case of active shape model, they try to locate the silhouette and also the key points such as eyebrows and eyes, and also other features like lips. And then they find the alignment, what is the offset here, and then they try to align it simply by using geometrical transformation. Once you have such face, this face is what we can use for the next set of operations in the pipeline. Now we have the face. The next step is to extract the features. So the face is detected, but however, this face again has some other components which is not desired. For instance, the background up here and the hair component which is not generally used. So a finer face is localized by looking at excluding all the details that is not really required, such as this background. And then you have the better representation of face. Then features can be extracted using any different feature extraction techniques. So for sake of illustration, I have just introduced Gaber feature representation, operating in 6 scales and 4 orientation. And the features are seen in different scales and different orientations in this way. Now when you have features from 2 face images, what we do? We take the face image, then we try to compare with the face image that comes as in a different instance, and then you compute a score, and then we say, okay, if the score is above than a predetermined threshold, we say it is verified or accepted. When there is some other face coming, you look at the features, go through all the set of operations that was done previously, then you see the score is 0.65, less than 0.8, we say the subject is rejected. And now coming to the main topic of the trial lecture, why evading face recognition is important in the current context. Taking at the statistics, UK alone has 4.2 million CCTVs operating at this moment, which means 20% of the world's cameras are located in UK at the moment, and they're continuously monitoring the face or the other activities. It's not the case of just UK alone. There are a number of places where the surveillance is active. For instance, the recent advancements, the Google Glass, you could see that one of their advertisements said that as soon as you see the face, you could retrieve all the details of a person. which means you do the inherent face recognition and then locate into the database and get all the metadata, show it up. And in the case of typical surveillance scenarios, you have all the subjects going around, and then you retrieve all the metadata related to that, and then you show it up. Similar case in case of the public safety, you also use surveillance. Other than that, you have always the celebrity paparazzi. And the well-known way is to use the masks just to evade the face recognition systems. And in the recent days, there is one new technology, or it could not be considered as a technology, but a very trivial way of avoiding the face recognition system, especially in a high-profile life. You could see that the person is there, but you cannot see the picture of the person. You can see that the fabric that they have designed actually reflects so much of light that it masks the face inside the. And now, coming to the core topic of the lecture, how can we evade the face detection? Or that was some of the things that we wanted to look at. And to generalize the face recognition system evasion, you can evade the face recognition at two points, one in the detection unit as such, and the recognition unit. First, we would like to take a brief walkthrough through the units where we can evade in the detection unit. Then following which, we will have a small discussion on how to evade in the recognition unit. When it comes to the evasion itself can be categorized into two specific categories. One is conspicuous, and the other one is inconspicuous. Now, what is conspicuous is that somebody can notice when I try to evade. For instance, if I try to put on some kind of specific makeup that nobody generally uses, and then it can be predominantly seen. Those kind of categories come under conspicuous, and inconspicuous is something that is very subtle and cannot be noticed by anyone. And nobody typically takes a doubt on if the face recognition system is being evaded at that point. So conspicuous attacks, again, can be generalized in terms of hardware attacks and makeup-based attacks. And one thing I would like to say about this is that the color code somehow denotes the severity of the problem. You can see that the conspicuous attack is mildly severe, whereas the inconspicuous attacks are real threats to the system. Then again, in the second case of inconspicuous attacks, you have makeup-based attacks and also accessory-based attacks. Now, taking a closer look at how each of these work, as I said, there is conspicuous attacks, and then there is inconspicuous attacks. So the way a person wears a mask or changes a hairstyle, this can be predominantly noticed by any person. So these kind of the attacks come under conspicuous. In such scenarios, the face is not detected. For instance here, heavily used makeup. Then you have another kind of attacks where a person passes through and the face is never detected. Again, one more kind of makeup. Now, what happens in such a case? As I illustrated in the previous case where we have R cascade, if you try to run through the R cascade for such faces, you can see that the face detector is running, but it's not able to localize anything. So the entire face is scanned all the time, and these patterns, which are painted on the face, they somehow mask the actual patterns that are being looked for, which means they confuse the hard cascade detector. Therefore, even though it runs, it doesn't detect something with very high confidence, but at some instance, maybe it will detect something. Especially in this case, somehow there is this eyes, which are very light in the entire face, and it detects one region. So in the last scale, you can actually see that there is one face localized. But then there is another subtle art makeup, somehow conspicuous. You can actually see that the hairstyle is completely changed, and these kind of things can be seen only in the fashion shows, not in the general life. So when you actually run the face detector on this again, we are confusing the classifier completely, meaning the entire frame, when it is analyzed by the face detector, especially in the hard cascade-based detector, it doesn't detect. One of the key things that can be observed here is that you're not just masking the eye region, you're also introducing some patterns up here, and these patterns are confusing the classifier. So in the end, the face is never detected. So even though you are passing through a face detection system, it will not be able to detect the face, and it will just let you pass. Now, as I told you before, conspicuous attacks are somehow can be seen evidently. But when it comes to inconspicuous attacks, it's really difficult to find out how the attacks are being carried out. For instance, if you take a picture like this, and this lady has painted the cheeks in a subtle way, and introduce the hairs in between two eyebrows. And when you use such kind of subtle makeup, which is very common for people to use when they go to watch a football match, they try to paint their face with the flags, and in such situations, you can see that it still confuses the hard cascade detector, which indicates that the inconspicuous attacks are very subtle in manner, but they do pose real threats to the system. And this is one of the work that was done very early back in 2012 by the person called Adam Harvey, and he has illustrated all these videos up here. Could just go and visit how each of these work. So you can see in all the classes, all the scales, the cascade fails, and we with no face detected. So based on some of the experiments Adam Harvey conducted, he came up with some of the patterns that can actually fool the systems. At least at that point of time when he was working on such project, he said that, okay, some of these patterns can easily get through the system, evade the system, when you're trying to detect the face. Whereas these can be detected, and he did not give any theoretical proof on why these things work, he just illustrated them. Now, after looking at how to evade the face detection, let's try to take a look at what happens in the hardware-based system. All I showed was makeup-based attacks, where you try to evade the face detection. And now when you try to use the hardware, you can use accessories or specific kind of hardware. For instance, here, the researchers in Japan, they found out that if you try to use a glasses and try to use the LEDs on the glasses, you can actually evade the face detection systems. As an illustration, you can see that when the face is here with the glasses, you can see that even with the glasses, the face is detected with high confidence. When the LEDs are turned on, the faces are not recognized or detected anymore. A live video of demonstration of the same technology was given in one of the conferences earlier. As you can see, when the person wears that and tries to interact with the face detection unit, the face is not detected. Even though the face is in the background and there are some false detections, are detected. For instance, this person is detected. Whenever this person walks, he's detected. But when the person is here, he's detected. As soon as he turns on the light, there is no face detection. So this is another kind of simplest way you can try to evade the face detection unit. And as people may also raise a concern that what happens when we wear sunglasses, the classifiers are trained to detect the sunglasses, so sunglasses really do not help you. Now, those of you who are actually very interested in taking a look at this, there are some of the commercial websites who have made the product in a fashionable way, so you can just buy this for a couple of dollars and try to evade the face detection units. And for those of you who do not want to invest some money, you could go to the local hardware shop, get a cheap glasses, get two LEDs, rig it up yourself, you just open up the edges of this one and try to put the LEDs and try to walk through that. For instance, if you put on them and try to walk in a during night time, you can see that the face detection unit completely fails. And this kind of attacks is again very valuable if you're trying to evade near infrared based systems. Now, based on all these things, the point to discuss is that can we evade at the detection? Yes, but applicable only in the unmonitored scenarios, such as you're going through the subway, which is unmonitored, you can evade. If you are trying to go through a monitored situation, such as in a border control scenario where there is an officer standing, I don't think this will work. Then, what I showed you up until now is all the hard cascade-based detectors. What we've also wanted to try out is to see what is the new generation detectors, how they would work, how they would cope up with such challenges. We did some of the experiments with the patterns that Adam Harvey actually proposed, and this was one of the projects where he tried to do multiple makeups and they all failed for the hard cascade detectors. And we took the deep neural network based models, trying to see if they actually succeed in detecting the faces. And they do, as you can see here. The one other face where the face was never detected, again the face is detected. The third case, inconspicuous attacks, where you have very subtle makeup and it fails in the real world scenario using hard cascade, you can see that the face is detected here. So what ultimately tells us is that maybe you want to evade the systems, but be sure what kind of systems they are using. Now taking a look at the second part of the evasion, where we try to evade with respect to the recognition unit, one of the disclaimer I should actually make is when you are trying to evade the recognition unit, you should know the entire system, how it works, how it operates. So most of the white box evasions may not work here. The key thing is that you know the internal knowledge of the system and you try to perform an indirect attack. Again, in this indirect attacks, as I told you, the color code is somehow symbolizing the severity of the problem. You can see that the indirect attack by itself is not so severe as long as you don't have unnecessary access. But in such cases, you have attacks that are called as dodging and impersonation, and the third kind of the attacks that are called as identity concealing. Now, what is dodging will be explained in the upcoming slides. Just to give a brief statement on what is dodging, I am a subject, I just go to the database, I don't have to target any specific person, I just try to match with anybody in the database. Those are called as dodging, and impersonation is trying to attack some person looking at the characteristics of the person. And then you have the identity concealing, where you try to conceal your own identity by appearing as somebody else. Now, how these dodging attacks are performed are basically using the digital manipulation. Then again, for the impersonation, you can have either digital manipulation or accessories or makeup, as in the previous case. Again, you can see that the accessories and the makeup pose severe threats. And then when it comes to the identity concealing, you can achieve it, but then it is not so severe and it can be done only through digital manipulation. Now, I give you some of the examples of how these things work in real life. For instance, there is this subject, and you try to introduce such information in one of the color channel of this particular face. So you have three different channels inherently. You have red, green, and blue when you capture the image in the visible spectrum. Once you have such information in three channels, you introduce such kind of digitally manipulated intensity values, put them back, then you see that the face is here after the perturbations, but there is no visual difference in terms of both the faces. Maybe there is some subtle difference in terms of the sharpness of the image, but as such, the human face, the face is not so distinct from each other. And then the dodging attacks, you have the face, you have a database, and that could be anybody in the database. For instance, I've just taken a celebrity database, and then this person trying to get into the database or get into the system, posing as somebody else. This is called dodging. One of the ways to achieve dodging is again digital manipulation. So this is the actual subject, and this is the subject being dodged. And in one of the recent articles that has been published, they have indicated that if you try to introduce digital manipulation onto the image, you are dodging the subject, which means this subject matches with this subject. So in a real world, this is again a problem if you know who exists in the database and you know the characteristics on how the subjects are. Another key thing is this particular aspect from this experiment. As you can see, the subjects up here and here, they do not correspond at all. For instance, this is a male, this is a female, probably in mid-45s, maybe somewhere in mid-40s, a girl who's roughly around 25, and a person roughly around 30, then you have another person, a person around mid-40s. Now, what they have shown is that if you try to use such glasses, you can get into the system posing as this person. Even though the subjects are so far, in terms of all physical appearances, this person is still able to get into the system. And this girl is able to get into the system as this particular person. So there has been some amount of news on this particular glass, which we will discuss in upcoming slides. And then you have another kind of attacks where you try to introduce digital manipulations. Again, you try to conceal the identity, so you get into the face detection system, you have this face, you introduce some kind of patterns or some kind of special glasses, then put him into the system, the identity of this person is concealed. He cannot be recognized anymore. As I told before, the recent work that has been published here, it made a big news because of certain factors that the face detection systems can be easily deceived. And one of the key things why it can easily be deceived is that using such glasses, you can get into the system as this particular person. And for those of you who want to try, you have printed the glasses, you can try it out with a couple of face recognition systems we have up here. And we wanted to take a look at how these systems actually work. We were intrigued by this work, and we want to take a closer look how exactly these systems work, and we did some experiments. And based on that, we want to draw some kind of conclusions, where we try to see, can we evade face recognition systems, all of them? Well, as I told, face recognition systems, the evasion can only happen if you know the internal knowledge of the system. And again, it's difficult in monitored situation. And can we generalize? Now, this is the third part that we wanted to actually look into based on the reference article given to us. What we did was we went up there. We enrolled all these subjects into the reference set. Then we tried to probe them independently using a simple face API that is available freely online with limited number of queries for a month. And when you try to match this particular subject with the other subjects, you can see that this subject is matching with this one only with 15% confidence. But whereas the same person, when you try to match, it gives 100% confidence as expected by any other system, and the closest match is somewhere 25%, 21%, corresponds to a male subject. Further taking a look, in this case at least, this girl is matching up with this lady, which is with a close match of 20%. As I told, we wanted to also look at different way the systems work. We tried with some of the commercial systems. We took the face image of this particular person, enrolled into the system, Verilux system, available for demo freely, or you can buy it in the, with the license. Then we try to probe them with respect to each other. As you can see, the system tells that the verification is not found. And this is a commercially operating system, which is deployed in many cases. Further, we wanted to take a much closer look, a brief note on the nomenclature. You can see that the images with the border with blue color are with accessories. So either they're using some kind of glasses or some other accessories. And then the one with this kind of red borders are digitally manipulated images, such as the ones that I showed before. So then again, we tried to map how each of them work. When we tried to match each of them, we got a score of almost zero for each and every subject. And also to look at the impersonation attacks, we tried to see if there are any other commercial systems that are available. And we went back here, and we just put in the face image that I showed in the earlier slides, and then try to retrieve the identities. And this person matches to Will Smith. Whereas there is no correlation between the Chinese person and Will Smith, it still says that these persons are matching. I could probably show based on how much time we have. And then again, coming back to the digital manipulation, as I said, there was these perturbations introduced into the system, and then you have digitally manipulated image. When you try to capture the score, with the open face you have a score of 9810 with a threshold of 7100. It is still verified. With another commercial system, the score is 3929 and the threshold is 96, still verified. Another look at impersonation. Does digital manipulation actually work in the real world? We tried to introduce this subject and tried to introduce the digitally manipulated glasses on the subject. Then we tried to get the score. The score was 7150, greater than threshold, so verified clearly. And with the Verilux system, again verified clearly. Then we tried to introduce the subject. It was shown as dot subject. And in this case, we can see that the score with the open face was 6448, less than 7100, so verification failed. Again, with the Verilux system, verification score was zero, so the verification failed. And apart from all these works, then we also wanted to take a look at how can we evade the system with the makeup. So one of the works that we actually found out on evasion of face recognition with respect using the makeup is that you simply have a person put on the makeup. So the male subjects up here in the first row, they're trying to act as female subjects by putting on the makeup. So this person becomes a girl, again this one becomes another girl, so on. And in the other case, all the female subjects become male by using some kind of accessories, mustache, hair, and they try to match. And it can be seen that in the actual case, when you have makeup versus makeup, the system performs good. Non-makeup versus non-makeup, the performs good. Just to give a key introduction to how these are interpreted for audience with non-biometric background, the closer to the origin, the better is the performance. So we have the system that is performing here and here, considerably okay. But when you try to probe people with makeup versus people with non-makeup of the corresponding subjects, you see that the performance actually increases. So the error rate increases from roughly 20% to roughly 40%. And also the authors have also analyzed the scores and shown that when you try to match the subjects with makeup, you see that the genuine scores or the distance is on an average around 0.3. which is much lesser than 0.6, and the same with non-makeup versus non-makeup. But what is interesting is that when you probe the subjects with makeup and the galleries is without the makeup, you see the genuine score goes much higher, which in turn indicates that the performance of the system goes bad. Now, based on all these discussions that I've gone through, I would like to make some suggestions. I don't know if it can be called suggestions, but maybe some knowledge on how to evade the face detection and face recognition. Convincing argument for us is to use the makeup. This actually gets through the system. You actually detect the face, but the face is not verified with respect to the same person. Or you can use accessories, such as here, you use the hair and then use subtle makeup. But then the caution is, know the system, how the systems actually work. If it's a typical hard cascade system, yes, you can get through. But if you have newer systems, they actually can detect the faces with accessories. So with this, I would like to show the demo of how it actually works. As I showed you before, this is the Face++ API. I go to the face search, and then I try to put a picture of a person. Choose a picture of random persons. I load the picture and I say, try to face search. Then it actually goes into the database and retrieves Will Smith. So again, you can actually somehow get identified as some other person, but you should really know the system internals and who is in that system. Now coming back to the conclusions. As I said, I have few suggestions, and now I would like to open up the floor for any discussions and questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kiran. I think we open up first for the committee for any questions.
Yeah. I have just one general comment, mm-hmm. more in the idea of just helping you in the future for presenting. So I like the presentation, but I must say that you should be, let's say, more focused on the specific topic that you are going to talk about. You had two things that could be improved. Mm-hmm. First thing is that you spent like 15 minutes with an introduction to the topic. That introduction could have been much shorter, because you may not need for the topic that we are talking to be so specific in the biometrics technology and the biometrics definition, so just only the highlights. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I was somehow missing was a little bit about the viability of the attacks. So you saw situations that were more like laboratory testing. Mm-hmm. Than, for example, considering what might happen, for example, in an airport security, in a football stadium, what could be the considerations that national security forces could have against this kind of things. So would we go back to, for example, what happened in Spain in the 17th century, that they denied to use hats and certain kind of coats, so in order to be always with your head completely open, so that you do that. So this kind of discussions could have been, you know, a way of improving your speech. But, you know, overall, it's I must say I enjoyed it quite a lot.
Thank you. So just to answer the first part of the comment, I was instructed that this is typically a lecture for anybody with a non-MSc background. So somebody comes with no background in biometrics, they should be able to follow the lecture. That's why the introduction was included. I do consider that if there is a biometric audience, I might skip it on.
Well, just going back to the title, because just I like this word so much, and I want to say it. So, after working on this topic, how would you say how ubiquitous is face recognition, given the 20%, for example, in UK? So, how much would you now evaluate this and, compare it?
Yes. So as I told, I split my presentation into two parts. One is the detection part, one is the recognition part. If you really want to walk through the London without being streets of London without being detected, you can just use any kind of makeup as long as the people are not complaining about it. So you could just walk through. But then if you try to do the same thing in a Schiphol airport or Amsterdam airport, where they have border forces standing and watching each and every subject, I think it would be a bit difficult. So in that way, ubiquitous may be somehow generalized to the everyday scenario where we are trying to get through the local subway or a local train station where they have face detection unit, then you somehow want to evade it. And simplest way would be even to use some kind of masks. There are real new 3D masks that you can just wear and walk through. Nobody would complain. So in that way, yes. But as I said, if you're trying to fool a commercial-grade system, I think it is still a challenge.
My question has to do with the technology versus the legal aspects of this. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that both can be balanced, because if we live in a society where we are continuously monitored, right, then one would expect some kind of legal ramifications to that as well. So, very briefly, in 30 seconds, can you say maybe a little more than 30 seconds, how can you balance technology with legal precedents so that the title of this talk can be made real?
Coming up to the exact point of this legal discussion, we were having some discussion with the immigration officers in Norway. And they were specifically pointing out to a problem where they're trying to locate where the asylum seekers try to get in, and they're not able to put them back into the plane because they don't know how, where they came from or which flight they actually came from. Now, in such situations, you can actually enforce somebody to use the face detection systems or face recognition systems. But still, there is a cry on privacy, and we are far from achieving that. As such, coming to the second aspect, if you are trying to talk on the surveillance on everyday scenario, I think we are not in a so good position to do that, or we should not do that, because then we are actually invading the privacy, which will actually lead into the legal and ethical complications for various reasons. One of the other things that maybe you should mention is the discussion that was taken place during the BioSig also led to the discussion where should we actually let Google Glasses to be used, or why was it stopped? And this was one of the reasons, because of the legal implications. Meaning we will certainly face a lot of challenges in terms of deploying the surveillance in a large scale, and we have no clear go-ahead from the legal experts who say that, yes, you can go ahead with this kind of things. I don't know if I answered the question.
Any
meeting room. Now, talking about surveillance, what we don't know is whether this was actually recorded or streamed.